Hey guys, Paul here.
Come along and see us.
Let's go.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Greetings, citizenry. Great to be with you on a Wednesday show of the Mike O'Mara broadcast slash podcast. We're happy to have you along today, and it is very refreshing to have everything finished in the home studio with all the glitches that I've suffered from. Haven't gotten it perfect yet. We have not.
Well, then it's not finished then.
Well, we did that final tweak. I don't think that was a very successful experiment right before the show, or as Rob likes to call it, experiment. But I didn't succeed.
Experiment. I go to spearmint like spearmint gum. I don't know why.
We are very, very happy to be joined by an author right at the front of the show today. This gentleman's name is Joel Zuckerman, and he has written a book called Gratitude Tiger, Creating Joy Through the Art of Impactful Letters. It's all about gratitude. And before we start talking to Joel, I'm just going to share a story that just the other day, I'm on the golf course, and there's one of the older guys that plays with us, and he's kind of a curmudgeon. And I, you know, when I had that little hole in one, they gave me a big pro shop credit. So
that's right.
I roll in, and I remember the golf balls he plays, and I bring him a dozen golf balls, and he's sitting down there, and I do kind of a Marilyn Monroe, happy birthday, and put the golf balls down, and I got the nicest
little... Is it his birthday?
Yeah, it was his birthday 2 days ago.
I did not realize that. I thought
and I got
were
the nicest note. It was
stick.
And it made me, you know, think. Well, what a perfect timing that we're having this author on. That's all about gratitude, and it's a hell of an interesting concept. And I kind of understand it, which you know, for a dummy like me, is very very rare to understand anything. But let's welcome Joel to the show. Joel Zuckerman, thanks for coming on the Mike O'Mara Show. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. I'm so grateful to be here.
I am grateful to have you, and I was grateful to you know, read your bio and find out that you covered the golf for a very, very long time. And, you know, we were talking about Scottie Scheffler yesterday and the fact that he's talked about how the family comes first, and he did so in a remarkably eloquent way. And, you know, it sounds like he's really grateful for his wife and his family, but not necessarily, you know, he said if golf ever gets in the way of his life, he will. He sounds like he's got his priorities straight. Mm-hmm. And this to me is something that I've been probably aware of for a very long time because of my mom. But where did you go from? It wasn't like you were a beat reporter. You wrote books about golf. You wrote articles about golf. And when did you make the pivot and start thinking about this? Was it writing gratitude letters in your private life? Is that how it started?
Scotty's grateful he's made about 100 mil in 5 years, too.
Absolutely. Yeah, very grateful. So how did you start? Have you always been aware of this concept, or where did this all? Because it's a very unusual subject to write about, you know?
You have a copy of Gratitude Tiger. If you do, read the...
I would have been grateful if your publicist got that to me.
The first chapter in the book is called The Metamorphosis. And the first sentence of the book, beyond the foreword, is, I used to be a very busy golf and travel writer. I was also something of an ingrate. But more on that in a little bit. And I tell this story about how I lucked into this life as a traveling... You're right, Mike. I was not a beat reporter. I did not write about Tiger's cutting a 6-iron into 12 feet to make birdie on the 7th. I wrote about resorts, spas, history, player profiles for a wide range of magazines. And I wrote a lot of books, as you mentioned. And in 2013, I picked up one of the most famous self-help books that we've all heard of, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. And it's all small stuff. And one of the chapters said, write a heartfelt letter. So I was a busy writer in 2013 doing auto, autobiography stuff and memoirs and travelogues and books. And I said, I can write a heartfelt letter. So I sat down and wrote a letter to a colleague in the golf industry. As I wrote the letter, it never occurred to me I would write a second letter. It was just an intellectual exercise. But when I put it in the mail, I got his address. I texted him for his address. When I put it in the mail, I was overcome with a feeling of warmth and connectivity that I wasn't expecting. I felt like I'm really connecting with this person. He's going to be so thrilled to realize that I have deep feelings for him, that I'm grateful to him for what he's done for my career. I found that feeling to be intoxicating. And now, 12 years later, I've written more than 285 letters.
And they all, I would imagine, have varying degrees of what you talk about, that adrenaline rush when you do this. But I mean, who doesn't feel wonderful when they reach out to somebody? It's not always easy to do, to tell them how much, you know, in a way you can call it gratitude. I call it telling somebody how much they or what they've done means to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy to do. And I've experienced it, and I completely agree with you. It is an enormously satisfying experience to do that.
Why isn't it easy? Tell me why it isn't easy to do.
I think sometimes I guard against doing something like that, and I can separate it into my personal life and my professional life. In my professional life, and this might, I welcome your thoughts on this, because I'm being completely honest when I say I would worry that by reaching out to somebody, as somebody who has his philosophy on hats that we sell called Don't Get Happy, I would worry that if I have always had this fear, this is the God's honest truth, that if I reach out to a coworker and say something like, well done, you're really doing a fantastic job, you mean a lot to me, that the next day they are going to, pardon my expression, the bed, and all hell is going to break loose, and they're eventually going to bail on me. And
to be fair, Mike,
yes,
First you would have to work with someone that you are impressed with.
Rob, I've written you.
I know you have. I'm giving
messages.
You a hard time.
As early as last week, I did.
Absolutely.
But that's when I say it's tough to do. I have that in my head. Mm-hmm. And then it's years of analysis. It's years of psychotherapy putting yourself. I feel like you're putting yourself out there, Joel, in a way that maybe you can get hurt.
May I add one thing to that?
No, let him answer. Let him answer what I said.
But I do want to hear your opinion also, Rob.
I
have heard that. Well, I've never met either of you, so.
We just have fun like that on this show. It's 35
yesterday,
years.
Yesterday, he wished I had a heart attack.
Welcome to our world, Joel.
But I'm grateful I did not.
These gratitude discussions are supposed to be very serious, guys. Cut the bullshit.
Not here. Not here. Sure. All right. Go ahead.
Let me make this point.
Please do.
That is a fear of some people, many people, you included, the vulnerability, putting your heart on your sleeve. So my message, right? I'm a very unique character because, first of all, as you'll learn as we speak, I never will run out of anything to say. Mm-hmm. I'm very gregarious. I'm very effusive. I'm a professional writer, and I've never, I don't want to jinx myself, suffered from writer's block. And most importantly, most germane for this part of our conversation, I'm not afraid to show my feelings, okay? If I think highly of you, if I love you, if I like you, if I adore you, if you've shown me a service, a kindness, done something for me, I'm happy to share my thoughts with you. And the number one reason why I wrote the book, why I speak professionally, it all distills down to a single sentence. Writing letters of gratitude makes you, the writer, feel good.
Simple as
your
that.
Mm-hmm. Your joy. So when you wrote to your colleague a note or an email, he might have been flattered and humbled and delighted to hear from you. But didn't you feel a sense of elation when you shared your good feelings with him?
100%. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. That's absolutely
it.
True.
Yeah. So there's a chapter in the new book, and my keynote is called The Seven Pillars of Expressive Gratitude. And pillar number one is number one for a reason. Writing letters of gratitude makes you, the letter writer, feel good. Pillar number two is painfully obvious. It makes the recipient feel good. But that's why it's pillar number two. I'm not Mother Teresa. I'm not Nelson Mandela. I write these letters hundreds because it makes me feel good. And that's the gist of everything I write and everything I speak about on a professional stage.
One of the reasons we're speaking with Joel Zuckerman, and the book is Gratitude Tiger, Creating Joy Through the Art of Impactful Letters. And one of the reasons when Josh told me about possibly having you on the show was in this time that we're living in right now, I think it's more important than ever to return to some sense of, you know, human interaction that's not yelling at each other or insulting each other or attacking one another. I think the timing of this book in 2025 is magnificent to do that. And you're absolutely right. It makes you feel so much better when you do that. And has anyone said to you, but you said, yes, texts are okay. Because when you think of letter writing, I think of old school. I think of my grandfather and my father, where it was all letters. And you would, you know, because that was a kinder, gentler time. It really was in a certain way. But, you know, when you say impactful letters, do people get hung up on that concept when they're talking to you?
A little bit. I've got plenty to say about that. But your colleague wanted to chime in with a question. I don't want to shut him out.
It's funny that Mike
Ladies
brought it up.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Joel Zuckerman, producer of the Mike O'Mara Show. go ahead, Rob. Joel wants to hear from you.
I feel bad.
No, you mustn't. You mustn't. It actually goes well with Mike's thing, his question. I'm curious, you know, if you think about the impactful letters and the note of the idea of even just a thank you note arriving in the mail, that's being the only way to do it. Do you think that email and, more importantly, texting has diminished the sincerity of reaching out, because you can dash off a text in 10 seconds and it doesn't involve a stamp and it doesn't involve writing, it doesn't involve going to the post office? Has that changed the game a little bit?
It has changed the game tremendously. And what I will say to that, I'll be succinct, which is not a word that most people associate with me. I'll make it quick and easy. Receiving a letter of gratitude in the mail is almost ceremonial.
Mm-hmm.
There is I don't want to say formality, because many of my letters are freewheeling streams of consciousness, very snarky, funny, high-spirited, but it shows a degree of effort that you really want to tell someone you're grateful to them, that is way beyond a text, an emoji, a GIF, an email, a TikTok. And yes, does it take more effort to find someone's address and go to the mailbox? Of course it does. That's why it's more impactful. That's why my 285 efforts thus far are letters of gratitude, not gifts of gratitude, not emojis of gratitude. And call me old school. I think my message, it doesn't resonate with 30-somethings unless they were raised a certain way, right?
Mm-hmm,
if you were
right.
raised by parents who insisted you write a thank you note, like you guys might have been.
Yeah.
Like I certainly was.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not trying to change the world here.
No.
But it's certainly an exercise that I think even the, you know, Gen X, millennials, everybody like that would probably do well in doing. I mean, I come from an era where letters were kind of a thing in my family, and I still think thank you notes are part of my family. Not from me necessarily.
Of course
but,
not.
But
don't you get a lot of them because they're thankful that you're in the family?
I get them constantly.
Of course you do. Dozens.
People sharing how grateful
sacks of mail
they are with me with all of that. Do you think that, I mean, I think if you allow the text, though, and even that, if it's if it's an email that's well composed, I think that is not exactly a lack of effort. That's still the thought that counts, right?
Mm-hmm.
In
you're right.
saying something.
You're right. And, you know, I mentioned the first chapter in the book is called Gratitude Tiger. The first chapter is called The Metamorphosis, and it explains how I went from this prolific golf writing to what I now do. And the last chapter of the book, Mike, is called Finishing This Text with a Word About Texts. And in that chapter, I detail the fact that my father taught me as a young age. My father was 54 when I was born. So by the time I was ready to listen to any coherent advice, he was getting old. He was pushing 70. And I remember him telling me, if someone asks you a favor and you can do it without tremendous effort, you should always do someone a favor. And that's how I consider texting. You can always reach out to someone. As Rob said, it only takes 10 seconds and it has a dual effect. One, they are now forced to think of you. They're busy at work, or they're watching soap operas or whatever they're doing, and a text comes in. Now you have crossed their mind whether they wanted you to or not.
You
are offering, Bill, what's happening? It's been a long time. I hope you and Janie are doing okay. Boom. End of it.
Yeah.
It's just a way of staying in touch. So there's a tremendous efficacy in texting. It's great. But letters of gratitude are the gold standard for feeling good about yourself.
I have to touch on something quickly because you mentioned your dad was 54 when you were born, and I'm an older father, and I think we match up with that. I think I'm almost spot on. I'm 66. My son is 12.
Yeah.
And exactly. I thank you very much, Rob. Or was that Josh? I'm not sure.
That was
Joel, I have to ask you this question. How does it feel? What are your thoughts? I just have to get that from you besides talking about the book. What are your thoughts about being raised by an older dad? Because I'm fascinated by that.
Well, I don't think I should tell you. Why don't you mute your thing and I'll tell the other boys.
Okay. All right. Go,
no,
go
he's,
ahead.
He's got
go
elephant ahead. Skin. He can do this.
I can handle it. I can handle anything.
Let me put it this way. In another book, one of my books earlier, I could just see the phrase that I wrote. I was glad that we had our kids young.
Okay.
I think I was 28 and 31, or give mm-hmm. or take.
Right.
Because my dad, he did the best he could. He was Eastern European.
Okay.
He never wore a baseball glove. When we would play baseball in the backyard, he would stop the baseball on a short hop with the sole of his hard business shoe.
As having a baseball player, my little guy, I can relate to that. It's hysterical.
It was not exactly Field of Dreams. If you had walked into my backyard in 1972, you would have said, What is happening here?
That is too funny. So, okay, I get it.
Anyway, my father was a wonderful man. He was wise. He was mellowed by the difficulties of his childhood in pre-World War I Russia.
Yeah.
And he was impactful and imparted a lot of wisdom. But the problem was he started to deteriorate when I was getting into high school.
Okay.
Because he's suffering, you know, the health effects that many men of our age or close to our age, and certainly 30, 40 years ago,
sure.
started to suffer.
Yeah, but absolutely.
Great,
yeah.
great dad. He was great to me, and I love him. He's been gone a long time. He died when I was 30, but I'm sure you seem like a great guy. I'm sure your son will have tremendous memories with you, and hopefully for many, many years to come.
I hope so. You know, the golf writing, it seems to me that in the world of golf, as it relates to gratitude in your book, I think what I see, just observing, and you've covered the game, but you've also covered resorts and stuff. You've been around, I would imagine, your share of entitlement with people that, you know, feel as though the world should be deferential to them. I see a lot of lack of gratitude in that world. Did that have anything to do with moving in this direction in your life and in your writing?
It's a good question. I would say tangentially it's related. I felt in the opening chapter of my new book, I talk about how I fell into this fairy tale life of flying around the world on other people's dimes. Golf writers are fond of saying, we only reach into our pocket for teas.
That's funny.
So
I like that.
I would fly wherever they would send me. And if the flight was too early, I'd be ticked off. If I had to push my rolling coffin of a travel bag through 2 miles of an airport terminal, it was annoying.
Right.
We had this entitlement of, we'd go into resorts. If it was a press trip with 6 or 10 writers, you'd walk into the place like rock stars. You didn't have the talent, the fame, the money, or the groupies.
Right.
Just the sense that, what can you do for me?
Yeah.
And I look back at that now. It's 5 to 10 years in my past, and it started at the turn of the century. So I started getting invited out on this magical mystery tour about 25 years ago, and it lasted for 20 plus years. And I got to the point in my career, Mike, where I didn't even need to be invited. I could just call a resort and ask them to Google me.
Oh,
and then they'd call me back. Oh, please, could you come for the weekend? I'm like, can I bring my family? Of course.
Wow.
Wow. Good gig.
It was, that's what we used to say. Good work if you can get it.
Sure. Right? Absolutely.
And so you ask a very profound question. Was my entitled life for all those years, is what I do now a reverberating effect on what I was like in 2005 and 2010? I've never thought of it that way. I don't think so. I just find such pleasure in writing letters of gratitude. And all I'm trying to do when I speak and when in my new book is to tell people, write a letter to someone who you have gratitude to. You will feel tremendous. What they feel is collateral joy. You write it for yourself, and the collateral joy that the subject experiences, that's just gravy.
I love it. I think that's great. Joel, we appreciate you taking the time to join us today. I think this is the kind of thing that will motivate people to get out there and do it. And there's so many people that we all have in our lives that we probably should pay attention to. And that, as you said, it's a selfish exercise in a way because you feel so good when you do it.
Absolutely. You know? And let me share one quick thought with you,
sure,
if I may. When I speak, about 7 minutes into a presentation, I ask the audience, think of two people to whom you're grateful to, one that's with you and one sadly no longer with you. And then I'll tell them after, it's a reflexive response. Mm-hmm. Everyone immediately thinks of two people. And then I'll say, it is too late to reach the person no longer with you. So don't hesitate. Write that letter of gratitude today or tomorrow to the person who's still with you, because as Ralph Waldo Emerson once said, you can never do a kindness too soon because you never know how soon it will be too late.
Man, I love it. That is wonderful. Not only can you put pen on paper, but you're really a great guy to talk to. And I'd love to have you on again. It was really a joy, and really good luck with this book. I think it's a wonderful concept. God, do we need it today more than we've ever needed it.
I appreciate it. I'll reach out to Josh and see if you guys can have me back around Thanksgiving time.
There we go. I get that joke. Gratitude Tiger, Creating Joy Through the Art of Impactful Letters by Joel Zuckerman. And, look for Joel when he's speaking at a convention or somewhere near you, because he does a lot of that as well. Obviously, he's good at it.
And
thank you, Joel.
It's on sale on Amazon today.
What's that? Oh, that's right.
It's on sale over at Amazon.
That's where you get it. And go grab a copy of it.
Wherever fine books are sold.
Thank you, Joel. We appreciate
Thank you, Joel.
That. Thank you very much for coming on the show. We appreciate it. We're grateful.
Yes. I'm grateful, too. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
There you go.
Bye.
That's Joel Zuckerman, everybody. I mean, as he's talking, I'm thinking about who I can fire off a letter to.
Were you ever a letter writer, Mike?
Yeah.
Go back in the day?
Yeah, I mean, back in the day I was.
I was too.
I would do it occasionally. And, I know he's saying the real exercise is to write a letter, but I also, something as simple as first thing this morning, just having my sister reach out to me and saying she was thinking about us. And that, for 3 years it's been since I've been up to that that part of the world to see my family. And so I immediately responded. And that's texting, but it's still communicating.
Yeah.
And I think texting, in a way, when you're doing that kind of communicating, can be more impactful than just trying to arrange a business meeting. Like when we're going back and forth 500 times right. about show business with, and I don't mean show business.
Yeah, you're complaining about the Kardashians.
Yeah. when we're going back and forth about the details on this broadcast, it gets tedious for me. You know, I'd rather talk to people doing that. But to say, thank you, you know, that makes me feel better.
It and really also, does. I love his notion that if nothing else, a text lets them know that you're thinking of them, and it forces them to think about you.
Yeah.
I know, you don't even think about it at that granular level, but it's very true. So it's nice that he does that.
I think gratitude is, because I do exist out in that kind of country club world and that that golfer's world, I have a little thing that I notice that I've noticed for my whole life. And nobody told me about it. Nobody told me to do this. But it will be somebody who's in a restaurant, somebody's in a club, somebody's behind a counter that will drop off like a plate of food or a beer or something like that. And there are people that don't ever even say thank you, that don't even acknowledge the person. Like it's a, you know, and I always.
It drives me nuts. It drives me nuts.
It sticks in my craw. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then I've been around other people that took it a little further and will always get a name of somebody. And I think some people that are in the service business consider that a little disingenuous, but it's better than ignoring somebody.
If they have a name tag, I always try to call them by their name. Because it just makes it more human interaction.
Josh, you're funny. When I see your little brain working and you're just like going back and forth, you have something to say. Go ahead.
Well, as you were saying, that's disingenuous. I knew Rob was going to jump in because Rob is one of those people. Rob will call you by your name if you're wearing a name tag every time.
Well, what does that mean, though?
You're doing.
Well, I mean, is that a bad thing?
If you're at King's Dominion checking the seatbelt, he'll look to see what your name is and say, thank you, Mike.
I do. Well, you know why? Because
no,
I used to be a habit
of being friendly.
I used to be a checker at Safeway, and if someone called me by my name, I liked it. I did.
Do you know, just to pull back the curtain during that little exchange.
Are you going
to
do this story
when
time?
When he was talking about the text, Josh, you didn't know this, but I texted Rob, blow me.
Yeah.
And then Rob texted me back, I will if you're grateful about it. And we kept it together while that was going on.
We did, but that was, you know what? That was a top 10 text right there. And it made you think of me.
No, I will go back to the boat. I will say there's Michael's got this friend, Donnie. And by the way, God, it's funny because when you start thinking about it, it jogs the brain to come up with stuff. I got to share this with you right here. Let me make sure that I've got it. But let me see. Hey, Mike, I watched your show yesterday and really appreciate the kind words and, of course, the plug. Hope to fish with y'all again someday in the future. Thank you very much, your new fan, Captain Mike.
That How means great
something.
Is that? That's so good.
That means something that he took the time. I told him to. I told him I was going to talk about it. And the one kid, there was one kid at the very end of the fishing trip, one of his buddies, that said, thank you. Now, my son is very good about expressing gratitude to us as parents. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that one little guy that said that, it's cool. I think it always works. I mean, you get it from a young. What's the first thing we teach our kids? Please and thank you. That's the first
thing
I do.
Not in my house. It was shut up. Enough already.
Not while daddy's drinking.
Go get one of the green bottles out of the refrigerator. Does this look green, idiot?
I really do.
I'm curious. His exercise he did about if you could write a letter right now to someone living and someone past. And I immediately came up with choices. Did you have any that popped to mind?
I've done. Carla has a collection of probably letters that I've written to her throughout our relationship. That I will just do it. Sometimes I will just do it when she's gone to sleep and I'm up, and we've had a particularly good day. When Kathy reached out, I'm very conscious of keeping the relationship with her family good because it's been too much time. They came down and visited us this past year, but it's not the kind of frequency that we've had in the past. So I was thinking about her as to how she handled my mom at the end of her life when my mom went to assisted living and the job that she did really picking all that up. I was, because of the proximity up in New England, she did a lot more lifting than I did in that. And I've always been very grateful. And I would write her about that. As far as, you know, people that are not here, I would probably, I always talk about my mom, and I was very good about sharing gratitude with my mom, but I probably would write a letter to my father and just say, you know, thank you for doing your best to give us the, you know, the life you had under pretty difficult circumstances. We didn't have a lot of money growing up, and it was, you know, we never knew that as kids. And you hear a lot of kids talk about that when they're children of the greatest generation. And I really don't think we were made aware of how difficult it was. You know, back in the day, going to a baseball game, going to see a Boston Red Sox game, people might think that, yeah, let's go, why not?
Right.
It was a big, big deal for my family.
Yeah.
A really big deal for my family. And they made that happen for me. So, you know, that was cool. A lot of sports and a lot of stuff like that growing up. So that's how about you? Who is around now that you would write a letter to? And who is somebody that is not around, because you've lost a lot of people in the last couple of years, that you would write a letter to?
I would probably write to Zendaya and William Howard Taft.
Thank you.
President. No, no. To be in all honesty.
That's a great. He was thinking about that one for a while.
In all honesty, the first letter I write would be to Twitch, because I didn't get to talk to him enough. Mark Riddell.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to him a lot when he was on his bed there, but I didn't get to say enough.
Right.
And I think for a living person, I would write to my mom, because as I get older, I realize more and more sincerely the sacrifices she made to make sure that I got to where I was going. Mm-hmm. She worked like a Trojan. She was just always at work. But I never missed out on anything. And again, we didn't have a lot of money, but I didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that. But that would be a good letter to write also to my dad. I don't know.
And, you know, Josh, we can't leave you out of this. Because I know the person that's living that you would write a thank you letter to would have the initials DJT. No, would you?
Yeah.
And, of course, the dead one, Earl Weaver.
Right.
Have you thought about who you'd, you know, you're a younger guy. You don't have that many people dead.
Yeah, I don't have that many people dead.
Mm-hmm.
As far as living, there's a pastor friend who's been a huge influence over my life that I have written letters to in the past. So that's the first thing that comes to mind.
Cool.
Anybody dead that you could think of?
Yeah. A friend that killed himself many years ago.
That's tough. That's difficult to deal with.
Do you save any letters?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm not a saver, Rob.
I've never
been a saver. I've got a bunch of stuff from early in my career that's up in the in storage up in Maine, but I don't think that I'd be able to negotiate it or tell you what it is. It's like the crap I have is all
you need
much
to hire
junk.
A guy to coordinate it and collate it.
Yeah,
and get the museum open.
You know,
I mean, what I do.
Yeah,
I throw everything out. But if it's something like that, I'll take a picture of it first, because
that's
the cameras
modern,
on our
that's
phones
modern
are good
technology,
enough to scan it.
Right.
Now.
Actually, what Josh does now, he takes a picture of the letter and then has AI turn it into a cartoon.
And write my response.
That's how they do it. Thanks to Joel Zuckerman. The book is Gratitude Tiger, Creating Joy Through the Art of Letter Writing. Impactful letters.
I didn't have him pegged as a guy that would say a bad word, and yet he did.
Oh, that's right. He did. He did. And it was when he was talking about it, he liked you. He really liked you.
What's not to like?
What's like to
I think I just got a letter from him.
What's not to like? That's the way that goes. This episode is brought to you by IQ Bar, our exclusive snack sponsor. We're excited to announce that they've teamed up with Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry, on two special edition products, a salted caramel chip protein bar and a yuzu mango hydration mix. This collaboration grew out of Chef Keller's daily regimen of IQ Bar products. IQ Bars are packed with clean, delicious ingredients that keep you you physically and mentally fit. For example, the Salted Caramel Chip IQ Bar has 12 grams of protein and only 1 gram of sugar. Of course, products co-created by a Michelin star chef are going to taste incredible. But what's even more important is how they make you feel. When I start my day with an IQ Bar, I feel amazing. Yes, I love them because they love me. With over 20,000 five-star reviews and counting, more people than ever are fueling their busy lifestyles with IQ Bar's amazing offerings. Right now, IQ Bar is offering our listeners 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. To get your 20% off, text TMOS to 64,000. That's TMOS to 64,000. Remember, text TMOS to 64,000. Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details. We got more show, but first I want to tell you about Naked Wines. How would you like to be the most... Oh, I said I was going to open the bottle. I didn't. Damn it.
Darn it.
I don't have a bottle opener. Well, anyway.
You just have to do today's show sober. That's all.
I'll just break the bottle. Yes. Damn it. I'm not grateful for that. Would you like to be the most interesting person at the next big party you go to? It's as easy as 1, 2, 3 and ABC. Just show up with a bottle of wine with a truly unique story. This podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines, a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet. So you get a case of the market's best quality wines for a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores. With our code, you can get 6 bottles of wine for $39.99. Plus, you can pause or cancel at any time. You need to join the Naked Wines community. It's great. We're getting there towards the end of the summer. Then it's the Halloween season.
Yes.
Then it's the Thanksgiving season. Then it's the real holiday season. Head to nakedwines.com/TMOS and put in our code for both the code and password. And you'll get 6 bottles of wine for $39.99, shipping included. That's nakedwines.com/TMOS and code TMOS. For 6 bottles of wine for $39.99. Now fill my chalice to the top, please. To the top, please. To the top, please.
I thought you'd get that. Yeah, that was Homer.
Thank you. Right before we did the show yesterday, we found out that a legendary performer had passed, Ozzy Osbourne. Last week, Kelly Osbourne denied rumors that her father was dying. And then yesterday, Ozzy did indeed pass away. He was 76. There is no word on the cause of death, but here's the official statement. It is with more sadness than mere words can convey that we have to report that our beloved Ozzy Osbourne has passed away. Mm. They said this yesterday. That was earlier in the morning. He was with his family, surrounded by love. We ask everyone to respect our family privacy at this time. Ozzy's biography is pretty well known by now. He got his start in Black Sabbath, got fired in 1979, and launched a massively successful solo career. Then in the early 2000s, he reinvented himself and made his family just as famous with the Osbournes, the MTV reality show. Along the way, he bit the head off a bat. That, to me, was the first thing I ever heard about Ozzy Osbourne, and that's the thing that everybody talked about
all the time. And I'm not so sure it ever happened, but it's a great story.
Says here, bit a head off a bat and a pigeon.
Oh, you see, I thought it was just a pigeon.
I don't know. Snorted a line of ants. Got arrested for peeing on the Alamo while wearing his wife's dress.
I do remember that.
You do?
Yeah.
You remember that one?
Yeah.
He also consumed...
Oh.
Hello. Michael Mara Show. Hello.
I'm Ozzy Osbourne, and I'm the Prince of Darkness.
Thank you. He also consumed massive amounts of mind-altering substances and calling from heaven, apparently.
I hope so.
He sold 100 million records, and he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice. He was inducted for Sabbath in 2006 and as a solo artist last year. Ozzy's health took a turn for the worse in 2003 following an ATV accident in which he broke his collarbone, 8 ribs, and a neck vertebrae. He re-injured his neck in a fall in 2019, and of course, he was battling Parkinson's disease, which was diagnosed after the fall. In a 2023 interview, he said his life had been, quote, 5 years of absolute hell while he was going through those medical issues. And yet, just 2.5 weeks ago, he was able to perform one last time at the Back to the Beginning show in Birmingham, which raised $190 million for charity. Ozzy is survived by his wife, Sharon, his daughter, Kelly, and his son, Jack. There are also some offspring you don't know, a son named Louis John, an adopted son named Elliot Kingsley, and a daughter named Jessica Starshine, all from his first marriage. I did not know that.
No mention of his brother, the comedian, Fozzie.
Fozzie Osbourne?
Yes.
Is that just a random...
That's all.
Is that a Fozzie the Bear reference?
Yeah, what it is, because he was a comedian on The Muppets.
Fozzie Osbourne.
Waka Waka Waka.
And then there was Amy, A-I-M-E-E, daughter of Ozzy and Sharon, who opted not to be on the family reality show.
Very smart to not do that.
In his autobiography, he confirmed that in 1982 in Iowa... He picked the bat up off the stage and bit its head off because he thought it was a stuffed bat.
Ah, okay.
Then he realized it was a real bat and had to go get the rabies vaccine after the show.
Well, that's good that he did that. You know that Steve Bridges is the guy that threw the bat.
Oh. and of course, from the crowd, you could hear him say, "Suck on that." Sabbath guitarist Tony Iommi, is it Lomi? Lomi, Iommi, Lomi?
Iommi,
Lomi, I don't know. Said he was heartbroken. Said there won't be another one like him. So there's that. Well, Stevie Wonder is 75 years old, and he has no intention of hanging it up. He says, quote,
"Good
for as long..." Oh, yeah, you went and saw that show and did a great review on that concert.
So good.
"As long as you breathe," says Stevie, "as long as your heart beats, there's more for you to do." He adds, quote, "I love playing music. That's like my mantra. I think I can do all the stuff I want to do. I'm not going to stop the gift that keeps pouring through my body. As long as you can imagine is as long as you are going to be creative. And as long as you let your mind work, you don't have to retire." I disagree.
Love what you do.
I do. That is not nice.
I know.
That is really nice. That's like you. That's like me saying the heart attack thing to you.
No, it's a little not. It's not quite at that level.
That really feeds into that narrative from all those negative Nellies out there. You stop it.
I will consider it done. But I think Stevie will outlive us all.
Yeah.
Because when I saw him on stage, it was now 8 or 9 years ago. He sounded and looked like he could have been Stevie in the 60s. His voice hasn't changed.
Incredible.
His presentation hasn't changed. If you are ever within 100 miles of a Stevie Wonder concert, go to it.
Go see Stevie, absolutely.
We're lucky to be on the earth at the same time as him.
A group of tech nerds in Amsterdam came up with a new gadget. Josh, pay attention to this. It's called a dream recorder.
Wow.
And it turns your dreams into videos, but it doesn't actually scan your brainwaves. You have to remember your dream, describe what it was. Well, that's like any
AI
thing. Come on.
Yeah.
Said it turns your description into a video. Well, couldn't you turn anything into a video? I see all those creepy crawlers online.
You know, in elementary school, I had a dream recorder. I played it. It was a small dream recorder, and I could play it in the band. Exactly. That was great.
Do you have a recorder? Do you have a recorder in your studio right now?
Let me check my shelf.
All right, check your shelf, see if you have a recorder. Apparently, this device is slightly bigger than an alarm clock with a screen on the front. That shows he doesn't.
I don't have a recorder, but you bet I will soon.
It shows colorful, low-def clips of your dream. All the examples they shared look more like an acid trip than real life. So there's that. It stores, oh God, this sounds like such a scam. It stores a week's worth of dreams. They say it's meant for reflecting on the meanings of your dreams as they echo into waking life.
This is such total BS because, first of all, it'll never look exactly right because it's not your brain.
Right.
And think of the things that you remember in a dream. They are so detailed, more detailed than you could ever.
And that's why all my dreams, the only videos I could share could be on Pornhub. The good news is it's somewhat affordable. The bad news is that is, look at the dreams. Yes,
oh, that looks like
flowers.
A good dream. Yeah.
The bad news is you can't buy one. You have to build it. They claim it's not that hard.
You go to ChatGPT. And hit enter.
And they posted a shopping list with instructions. Well, F them.
That's why they're not selling it, because there's nothing to it.
They say the total cost is around $330 plus 15 cents per dream. I don't get it. Now I don't believe it. Now I think it's all just a bunch of BS.
No, it is true. Just think about it. You're telling a simple AI program to generate an image or a small scene that you've created. All you're doing is making things harder for you.
And scene. Margot Robbie has already been Barbie. Now she's reportedly lining up to play another female cultural icon from the 1950s. When you were a boy, Rob, the era you wanted to live in. Rumor has it that she might star in Tim Burton's remake of the 1958 cinematic classic. Tell me the title.
Is it The Girl Can't Help It?
No. Think horror.
Well, it's not Psycho because that's 1960.
Nope. Think more jive horror.
Jive horror. I give up. I 58
think
doesn't.
Giant.
Well, now I'm thinking of the movie Giant.
No, that's with James Dean.
Oh, the Attack of the 50-Foot Woman?
There he goes. Yes,
get out of here.
Good job. You got it. Attack of the 50-Foot Woman.
Josh,
well
you
done.
Must watch it. It's a great film. Watch it after Roller Coaster.
I'll wait for the remake.
And the script will supposedly be written by novelist Gillian Flynn, who wrote Gone Girl, Sharp Objects, and Widows.
They turned down the script from Joel Zuckerberg.
The original told the sensitive story of Nancy Archie, a wealthy but unstable heiress who grows in size after an encounter with a giant alien, and she seeks revenge on her philandering husband. What, she go out to try to crush him? Have you seen the Attack of the 50-Foot Woman?
Been a long time. But yeah, she does go after him. And she doesn't kill him in a way that's anything exciting. She just sort of smooshes him, I think.
I heard it's a good movie because she's got big boobs.
Yes, very big. Very big. But unfortunately, big all over, if you catch my meaning.
Go, thank you. Finally today, heat-related alerts had been issued for 18 states as of Monday with the National Weather Service urging residents to take steps to reduce the risk of heat illnesses. Advice included limiting outdoor activities, wearing light clothing, staying hydrated, and avoiding alcohol.
What?
In response to the advisory, the state of Florida said, "You're kidding me, right?" Anyway, that's it. We have to move on. More show coming.
No, I'm not.
No, I'm not. Really? Limit outdoor activities and no alcohol? Come on now.
That you can eat.
Hey, caffeine junkies, just because we don't mention it every day, don't think that Charlie's Choice coffee is a thing of the past.
It's not.
Josh makes me laugh sometimes. Wait, the slow. That was the slow. Can you do that again so everybody can see?
It was the trying to figure out the focus of the camera.
I like that. I see. There it is. Charlie's Choice. It's great. It's not a thing of the past. It's still awesome. And you can reorder or subscribe for some more right now.
Yes, do it right now.
Don't just drink coffee. Experience it. We all know that you got to have coffee. Coffee, 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 coffee. What movie? Name the movie. Coffee, 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 coffee.
The Attack of the 50-Foot Woman. I don't know that movie.
Robin Williams in Moscow on the Hudson. He gets overwhelmed.
Oh, God, I haven't seen that for a long time.
He gets overwhelmed by the groceries in an American grocery store.
Yeah.
So we want you to have the best Charlie's Choice available in whole bean or fresh ground. Get a one-time order or save money with a subscription like I do and get your exclusive Charlie's Choice blend delivered right to your door. It's the best and freshest coffee you can find. It's crafted in small batches and roasted to order in beautiful St. Augustine, Florida. So support small business and enjoy a cup of Charlie today. It's heaven in a cup. Get yours at the TMOS store at MikeOMaraShow.com. Start your day right with Charlie's Choice because, Charlie,
it's good to the last sip. Yummy.
Hot steaming Charlie. Because when Charlie says, duh, it's got to be good.
Exactly, just like Al Roker says.
Isn't that right, Charlie?
Charlie.
All right, Rob, I want to hear about the stupid travel trend because my wife is traveling the end of the week. We're going to be traveling a couple of times during the fall, and I'm very curious.
This, to me, sounds horrible, but Josh, this might have been just enough to cure your European jaunt. Have you ever heard of an extreme day trip?
No. I know there's a guy on YouTube that does this, where he will fly from like New York to London, have dinner, and fly back.
Yep. It involves an early flight out and a late flight home one day in another country.
That's too expensive.
No, tell me about it. And also the destination. I like getting to a place and being able to at least settle for a half hour before I do something. But this, there's no hotel.
Yeah, but it sounds like it's something for the glitterati, not the common man, to get on a plane. Come on now.
Well, shop it around. I mean, you know, one of the most popular destinations are Dublin, Belfast, and Cork.
Oh,
people
man,
love doing day trips to Cork.
You know, I mean, if I like a place or I'm having a good time, I don't want to leave. I don't want to get off a plane.
Exactly.
Go through that. That to me, I mean, so is the hassle of airports and then dealing with that? No way.
Twice in a day.
I've looked into it for a day trip just in America to fly to a town, catch a baseball game, and fly back.
Well, that's a little more reasonable than flying to like Iceland.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But it's still ridiculous and impossible because of the air travel going through the airport.
Yeah, because air travel is just BS. It's horrible. I hate being in airports. It's one of my least favorite places to be in the world. It wasn't always, but it is now. Can't stand being in that. That's a stupid trend.
I have some suggested extreme day trips that might change your mind, Mike.
Okay.
Right, like, would you fly to Iceland and do the Blue Lagoon or the Sky Lagoon?
No.
I mean, before the lava hit it and ruined it, but... No.
Is that gone now?
No, I think it just needs to be cleaned up.
We need
lava.
We need a Blue Lagoon update, because if you go to Iceland, you get in their little salt baths or whatever, their super thermal baths that they have, and there's all this, like, mud... sandy consistency stuff that you can put on your face.
And it's very
gone,
healing
to
your face.
Well, I think it was really a cool thing to do, and it really was special, and I hope it wasn't wrecked for good. That would be terrible.
Mike, you could fly to Paris like Josh did, but only stay for long enough to go tandem skydiving over the French countryside, then go to a Parisian cafe, and then look at iconic landmarks, and then go home.
Rob, this is all Richie Rich.
I know. That's why I hate this. I don't like the notion that even if I had the money, I wouldn't do it.
And you have to have a private jet in order to hit the times right.
Yeah.
Well, you have to definitely plan ahead.
Yeah, when you said stupid travel trend, I thought it was going to be something dumb that is available for the everyman.
Like that raw dog in a few months ago.
I think if you have disposable income, it could be an exercise, and you've got all the time in the world because you're Richie Rich. It's probably, I still think it's dumb, so I'll give you that. But it's it's something you'd be more inclined to do. Like, for example, people that fly private air.
Yeah.
A lot of times we'll get on a plane, take a 40-minute, 45-minute flight for lunch somewhere, go down in Florida. People get in a private plane, fly to the Bahamas for lunch, come back, and land in the afternoon. They do that. Right?
Wow. I'm going to Egypt this weekend, but just for Saturday?
No, it's for rich people.
No,
I'm going to go to Sharm
el-Sheikh. I'm going to have a half day of scuba diving, seeing the coral reefs, because that's why you go to Egypt. And then I'm going to look at the pyramids, and then I'm going to come home.
Is this a trend that people in America are doing this?
Yes.
Because in Europe, the flights are going to be a lot shorter, so maybe.
No, you know, the extreme day tripper is from America, I think. It's an American thing. But
I'm so jealous. I got a lot of buddies that are traveling right now. And, and I'm just staying home, sitting in my big fart chair and ordering Chinese golf shoes for my kid. That's what I'm doing.
Well, I thought you were going to say Chinese food.
No, Michael was on the golf course the other day, and I said, he said, these shoes are tight, because he's 12 and he's growing like a weed. And I said, do I have the solution for you? Oh, Josh, I'm here to tell you
his
last gift arrived, and it was a beautiful city jersey from the Red Sox.
The orange, monster green.
The yellow and blue one, that one.
Oh, that's last year.
I got that one. It was
What golf shoes are you replacing? He said knowingly.
Adidas, as my mom used to call them. Oh. Adidas.
I took a day trip to France to see Run DMC.
If money was no object, the short little hop to go have dinner or lunch somewhere, but the long transatlantic flight to stay for one.
That's to me.
However,
it blows my mind.
If it is private air and you've got the disposable, the flight itself can be a party, right?
Yeah,
the flight over can be a thing. But
who are you going to put on your private jet, Mike, when you fly overseas?
Zendaya, the aforementioned Zendaya.
Good choice. Yeah.
And who's she dating? Who's that guy? It's not Chalamet that she's. Is she dating Timothée Chalamet?
He's very thin. You wouldn't even have to do a carry on for him.
Tom Holland.
Same thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, what I would do, here's what I do. Okay. Yep. I'm like, Zendaya, we're going to fly over to London, have a quick bite to eat, and then come right back. We think it'll be a really nice. It's just this brand new restaurant opening. And then Zendaya gets on the flight. The way we're going to walk up on the stairs to the private jet, it's going to be Zendaya first, followed by me, and then Tom Holland will be behind me, and I will just do a little faster walk up the stairs, and then phoom, the vacuum sealed door, that I'll shut out his face, you know, or better yet, I'll hit the little switch that lifts the stairs up, and he'll be going...
He's still on it?
Yeah, he's still on it. Then I'll
Or you know what? Just give a tip to the guy that's driving the stair truck that's getting it and have him peel out.
The stair truck for a private jet.
It can be.
It's the automatic. Well, yeah, if you're the Sultan of Brunei.
Well, yeah.
If you're like that jet that they sold to the United States government.
Yeah, it's Air Force One.
That's a great jet.
That's that's a great, great jet.
I had to rank them all. Anyway, people, don't do this. Stay home and spend money locally.
Very good. Thank you. The show continues, but first I want to tell you about Liquid IV. Liquid IV. Liquid IV, I love it. Used it today before we got rained out. And I used the new flavor. It's mango pineapple. Oh,
yes.
My God.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, are you responsible for Liquid IV getting me that wonderful stuff? Is that your thing?
Because I have written them and said, please give Mike ahead of scheduled deliveries.
They can send me all they want.
It's
fantastic. No matter how hot your summer gets, and we had a news story about the heat advisories, Liquid IV can help. Please believe me when I tell you this. It keeps you hydrated, but it does so in a way that works better than water alone. The summer heat means the perfect time to try the new Arctic raspberry flavor that my kid absolutely adores. Mm. Plus, Liquid IV has sugar-free solutions powered by Live Hydroscience for smart hydration. Visit liquidiv.com. Use the code TMOS at checkout for 20% off your first order. Just one stick, 16 ounces of water, hydrates better than water alone. I drink it each and every day. It has 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink that doesn't taste as good as Liquid IV.
Tell me about it.
8 essential vitamins and nutrients, and always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. So grab a stick and start sipping. Squeeze the most out of your summer with Liquid IV. Tear poor, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with the code TMOS at checkout. That's 20% first order. TMOS is the code at liquidiv.com. All right, Josh Soroka is upset. He is frustrated.
You know what, Mike? He's spitting nails. That's how mad he is.
He's mad at big sports TV. Mm-hmm. That's what he's mad at. And then I want to talk about what I'm mad at, okay?
It's all a TV, but the latest news is ESPN is spending $2 billion to purchase the NFL Network and the Red Zone in time for football season this year, so that they can roll out a $29.99 a month plan for you to watch the NFL Network and the Red Zone.
So when you used to get when you used to get the Sunday ticket, it would include the Red Zone. So that will not be available now because ESPN has got their little D beaters on it, and they're gonna charge you for watching that. And I know that especially sports gamblers, this is taking advantage of what they have manufactured.
Yes.
Incredible business of sports gambling right now.
And fantasy football. Yes.
That's what it's all about.
And that's what Las Vegas is all about, Mike. Gambling. Las Vegas gambling.
Yeah, but I mean, I like real gambling, all right? Yeah. I've never been a big sports gambler.
You want to touch the chips.
I do. I want to put my hands on the chips. I want to press the buttons. I want the bells and whistles. I want to see a card flipped over. That's what I want with my gambling. Okay. I really do. But
at this point,
getting back to it,
I want my cable bill back, where I spend $150, $200 and I have all these channels.
Because as we all cut the cord and we all have these subscriptions, it's starting to be a little insane. And, you know, I talked to Josh about that little secret place where you can
sketchy.
Go and get.
It's sketchy, yeah.
It's sketchy, you know, and sometimes it just goes out.
Yeah,
for
it's
no
sketchy.
Reason.
Yeah.
You know, the
how many streamers do you have right now that you pay for? I know you have YouTube TV, and that counts for a lot of them,
pay
right?
I pay for YouTube TV for most of my live television, but I don't use it a lot.
Right.
I don't watch a lot of that. Mm-hmm. I have Netflix, which really pretty much still the gold standard for streaming services.
Easiest to navigate, best content.
Apple TV, I am. You could actually just point at me and I would cancel that subscription.
Mike, I'm not going to point at you
it.
Because there's a new episode of Stick right now.
Yeah, watch Stick first.
Well, and then I love cancel Stick. It.
I love Stick, and I love the girl that plays the love interest of the young golfer. I think mm-hmm. she's really fantastic.
She's great.
And Marc Maron is spectacular as the caddy. That's a great show. But Apple TV goes months and months and months and months.
You're right.
You know how long you're going to see Stick? You're going to see Stick for 3 years.
You're right.
You're going to see old episodes of Stick for 3 years with no new programming after the season's over.
I still get You May Like... And it's Ted Lasso. And I mm-hmm. watched all of Ted Lasso right. 4 years ago or
right.
whatever. Yeah.
And that's followed closely by Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime is not great.
It's not great. And the movies, they, you know what I love? These streaming services. Netflix does it. Amazon Prime does it. Where they come on and they talk about the fact that here are the top 10 movies in
yes.
America this
yes.
week. And it is BS.
I know.
There is no... algorithm or measurement or data to tell me those that Disorderlies is the top 10
rated
movie
PG.
This week.
I can't believe the fact that the top 10 TV shows usually includes General Hospital.
It's ridiculous.
Right. And I used Prime today for the first time in forever, and I didn't realize there's now commercials in all your Prime content.
If you pay extra, you can do without.
I'm not
gonna
pay extra.
Well, but the one that I put on the most improved list and one that is, I think, making a name for itself is Paramount TV.
I love Paramount.
I think Paramount puts up great new content on a regular basis. So that's it. Paramount.
What about you don't
Apple,
have Hulu?
I got rid of Hulu.
I have Hulu
no
still.
Interest in Hulu. You have Hulu still?
Yeah.
I do too.
And,
it came bundled
Disney
with something.
Plus. I've
yeah.
got Disney Plus also.
Why do you have Hulu? Because what? Epic
kids.
Deputy
kids
Dogs on it?
No.
It came bundled with Disney.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Who needs Disney?
You do if you want to watch that Beatles documentary.
Oh, God. That's one thing.
That all use the Disney app.
Are there any? I like Disney movies.
Am I skipping any besides Hulu?
Yeah.
Is there anything out there?
Tubi.
You don't? Do you have Tubi?
Yeah, Tubi's free. Why not have Tubi?
Well, then I could get Tubi, so I guess I've got it too then.
Yeah.
Right?
And isn't there a Fubo or something like that?
There's Fubo.
That's like a YouTube type replacement.
It's like a Tubi ripoff. Fubu, Tubi,
right.
Gaga,
Google. You know what it is?
And don't forget Timu HBO Max.
Oh, HBO Max. That's right.
And Showtime.
Well, Showtime is under another heading. Showtime's
under
Paramount.
Yeah, but you got to pay extra for it.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize
or,
that it was
or
extra.
Or my mom, who I found out last week. Subscribes to PureFlix.
What is that?
It is the Christian Netflix.
Really?
Yeah. Apparently, it's like a bunch of Hallmark movies. So if you're really into Hallmark movies.
Well, we are, but we don't want them Christian. There's no sense in making those Christian.
Is there a Christian streaming service?
Yes. PureFlix. I haven't checked it out, but my mom was telling me about it.
Do they have, like, what, videos from Christian bands or something, or evangelists or something like that?
It says, PureFlix, Great American PureFlix, discover top 10 movies, Wild Like Me, Indivisible, My Brother's Keeper, and God's Country Songs.
They all sound great.
I don't know what any of this stuff is.
I've seen them all, Mike, and they're really fine.
Some of them really, really fun.
It is. $4.99 a month.
Real quick before we move on here, I do want to mention that when you're too old for doctors to care, I have had my... I've heard about this. I've heard about this with like medical issues that older people get where mm-hmm. it's just not like the... it's just not worth it to try to fix something.
This is like when we were talking about appliances yesterday.
Yeah. It's just not worth it.
You can't fix them. Put them away.
Can't fix. You got to put a new one in. But in this case, it's you can't fix. You should just deal with it. So I go. You remember when I was talking very, very graphically about my issue?
Yeah.
And my issue was that you know we have the fireworks, but the fireworks aren't as plentiful as they used to be.
That's right.
And is it something that is necessary? No. Is it something that is a result of a health problem? No.
Well, that's
is
good.
It something, is it? No, I've had it checked out. Is it something that everything I get from this doctor is that that doesn't represent any underlying
condition. Has it made a difference in the number of subscribers you have to to your private page? Because they want to see action, and it's just like you're not giving
my
the show you used to.
Subscribers don't like that. The MS, as I like to call it, is not what it used to be. First word, money. No, he goes.
You do. You should write a letter to your penis
today. You two are a 1-2 punch today. That's for sure. No, what happens is he's going down. This doesn't. You know, that doesn't. That really. That wouldn't be anything to worry about. Yeah, you know, this wouldn't be anything to worry about. I'm not there because I'm worried about an underlying medical condition.
That's
I
right.
am there, and I didn't say that at the time, and I regret that I didn't, because if I had had a doctor who could look past the fact that everything for older people is whether they're going to die or not, not
right.
that they want to have, you know, better steaming yeah. relations.
To improve a little action over at OnlyFans, you need it.
Exactly. My fans demand it. No. Now, he goes through
this. Infomercials that are on TV and stuff? Isn't that
I've tried. I've tried.
I know you tried.
I have tried. And it's not. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to do that.
I know. It's
bad. It's very bad. It's
about garbage in, garbage out.
Untoward.
Did he ever mention that it's normal for a man of a certain age to have diminished output?
Yeah. Yep. That always gets said. And then
did he ever say you're supposed to just give up by now?
He essentially said that without saying it. And it's a little bit, you know, it's a drag. It's kind of a drag. He said
he doesn't want you to give up love, does he?
He said it could be narrowing. It could be, you know, slightly. And then
are you hydrated?
And then like twice in 6 months, he did the test.
Right.
Which I don't need. And I didn't want. I really didn't want it this time.
What if you take Carla with you?
For the test? I mean,
that might be something. That might be if she comes up. No, what it will be, first of all, I am 80% done with a 20% maybe that I pursue. If I pursued it, I would go to a place that is specifically designed for.
Like a Wiccan?
No, you ass. I'm going.
A wizard?
No, not a wizard. I'm going for to do it to see if I can improve that part of my life.
I just hope it's not the narrowing. That sounds the worst.
It's age related, I think, to a degree. But I don't have the big casino. What?
It's just tired.
It's well,
so long.
It's just a drag, is what it is. It's a drag.
You want to,
and I'm not looking. No, I'm going to get graphic. I don't want to get graphic.
No,
I'm not looking for the greatest fireworks display in the world. Right.
Right.
I'll settle for some real nice ones that are low to the ground. Just real nice ones that are low to the ground.
A little sparkler.
And you can't leave that kind of an appointment without the doctor, without feeling as though
Carla,
whatever. Whatever. But I bet in the world of... All right, turn that off.
Yeah, it's too much. What are you doing, Josh?
I bet in the world of medicine that happens for not necessarily, you know, your plumbing, but a lot of other issues where they go, well, you know, that looks like it's something that could be a problem down the road, but it's not something you need to worry about right now. And what they're saying to you is you're going to be dead before you need to worry about
maybe
something.
I had a liver doctor that I didn't care for.
What did he say? Hold on. What did you say? Support group?
A support group. You're not the only guy going through this.
I suppose you're right.
Yeah, bring it up at his church on Tuesday morning.
I don't want to go to... I'm not going in there and telling 1,400 guys that I got that problem.
But I had a liver doctor that I no longer go to, didn't care for him, because he said... I asked him a very pointed question. He says, let's just kick that down the road until we talk again. And I'm like, I'd rather not kick it down the road because I have a question right now. And, you know, they owe you that. Don't tell him, don't have him tell you not to worry if you're worried.
Did you find another liver guy?
Yes. I go to a great one now at Georgetown Hospital where I was born.
And how, just since you brought it up, how are you?
I'm great.
Okay.
Yeah. I had a doctor's checkup 2 months ago, a month ago. That's when I got put on Prozac. I'm not sure about this Prozac.
Well, that's your noggin. How about your blood work and your and your organs and everything and your
checks out.
Why are you clamming up now?
Why are you clamming up now
with two-word answers?
Well, Mike, here's what I'll tell you.
Will do.
Settled down.
How about those two words? I want our listeners would like to know.
All right. All of my organs are functioning as they should. My liver has bounced back to a point where it's better than it has been in years. I'm no longer drinking.
That's fantastic. Thank you for that.
I'm no longer taking certain pills that are taxing my liver. Like Excedrin is very bad for your liver. I didn't know that going into this. But so now for pain relievers, it's simply a couple Tylenol as needed. But you know what? Now that I'm not drinking, I don't get as many headaches, so I don't need as much Tylenol. I sleep through the night. I'm down.
Did you take a lot of Tylenol when you were drinking?
Not Tylenol, Excedrin, all the time.
Really?
Yeah. I bet that's part of the problem.
So you'd like load up on those the morning after?
Yeah. Yeah.
Every day?
Almost every day.
Was that because of drinking or work?
Well, that was, actually the main thing about Excedrin was if I had a slight headache, this is backward and stupid thinking, it also had caffeine. So if I had a caffeine headache, it would bounce me back from that. But it's not this thing you want to realize. I am currently off caffeine, and Mike, you'll appreciate this. I have not had a soda since July 5th.
Rob, oh my God. You would be truly blown away at how many times I think about that. I thought about it today. I was getting the diet stuff, which is almost as bad, by the way.
Right.
But I was thinking about that and saying, you know, how much is coming to this house? Because it seems to go quicker than it should. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I was thinking of you. And I, oh my God. And the doctor, out and told you? Did he tell you that?
He said a couple months ago, you got to watch your sugars. Just watch your sugars. And I said, that's probably the best way.
You're going to notice a huge difference.
I hate it.
Every day I wake up
and I want one. Every day during the day I want a soda. This is harder to give up soda than it is to give up drinking for me.
Oh, and this was the week Costco switched, too.
Oh, you're killing me.
Josh, shut up.
At the food court. The food court is ready. Right. Mike, that's not to say I'll never have another soda.
No, don't. I like that. No, that is flipping great. I'd use the F word, but I don't want to. I don't want to have any.
Write me a letter of gratitude.
That I am grateful that you have done that. That's going to prolong your life.
I hope
so. That is such good news. That is really good news. Stick with it. Really. I mean,
I love every time I get to pull something from my life that I like.
But the thing is, acclimate your palate so you can have a diet one once in a while.
That's poison. I'm not going to put those chemicals in my body.
Okay, well, I do. I might have had three today. Hey, isn't it time for you to join the TMOS bonus show family, people?
Yes.
Rob's off soda. This is a good excuse right now. Good heavens. The answer is a resounding yes. Every day, we are maximizing the bonus show experience because better access means more fun. We're giving you more because you deserve more, like our state-of-the-art TMOS extras. These episodes are so much fun, and they are only available to bonus show subscribers. Great extra content that you will love. Or sign up for the commercial-free TMOS, which also includes the bonus show every week. Plus, every bonus show team member gets first dibs on exciting TMOS offers, one that we are working on right now that you're going to love.
By the way, something exciting
is brewing, people.
Ask me about that when we kill the mics. Josh had a great idea for it.
And, officially,
access. We're announcing it on next week's bonus show.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's good news. Instant access to the exclusive TMOS supporters Facebook page. Just visit MichaelMaraShow.com. Remember, your bonus subscription is the power behind everything TMOS. So when you grab that bonus show subscription, you are making sure all the great stuff keeps it coming. Be a hero, be a helper. For additional details, visit the bonus show tab at MichaelMaraShow.com. Don't bother to phone us. Just buy the bonus. He wrote it. I delivered
it. Let's do this then.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Glad I
Jerry Todd.
Hot Kiss.
Yeah. 102.7.
Hard to beat that for a jingle. So as we do beautiful video today, Mike, this one, I feel they're sort of stealing from you, but I still appreciated it. This is two guys. They appear to be in a band, and they are doing an impression of the way airport announcements sound. And I think it's great. And you mentioned that you don't like airports. I think this is fine because they use a xylophone, but also a snare drum.
That's kind of a variation on a bit a wonderful radio personality used to do.
That's right.
That is a complete ripoff and of the Marion Barry Subway, right?
Yeah, you never needed a snare drum to do it.
No, absolutely not.
There's a guy named Spain. I don't know his first name because I've forgotten it, but I remembered his last name is Spain. And would you like to guess what state he lives in?
Spain.
I'll give you a hint.
He's American?
I'll give you a hint. It's a drunk driving guy. And the way he got pegged for drunk driving, not usual. So what state do you think he lives in?
Delaware.
Look around, Mike. Look around you.
Georgia.
It is very close to Georgia. It is Georgia adjacent.
I got it. It's Georgia adjacent. Alabama.
No. This is Florida.
Oh, Florida.
And he got a DUI because he was making erratic turns on his lawnmower. Now, is this fair? Should you get a DUI for the lawnmower? We went to a noted Florida attorney to find out.
So, can you get a DUI on a bicycle, a horse, a lawnmower? The answer is yes. So the way it works in Florida is any vehicle that's on public highway, you can get a DUI. And horses, bikes, lawnmowers, anything that you're riding is considered a vehicle in the state of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And there's big cases with people on the back of a horse.
Your wife.
Get a DUI. Riding a lawnmower, you know, riding a bicycle. So it's not just cars. Keep in mind, too,
you're right,
with Tesla and these self-driving cars, even though you're behind the wheel and the car is driving itself, you're still operating it. You're still responsible. And you can still get a DUI, even if it's a self-driving car.
Do you think he has a lot of friends, that lawyer? I don't think he does. I didn't
probably
care for
not.
His message.
Probably not.
Did I hear Michael?
No.
I thought I heard dad. My bad.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not hear
a dad.
Okay. I don't know what happened there.
Right. Mike, this not only has the best anchorman we've seen in a while, you're going to really like this guy, but also I have to ask, as far as baseball goes, I've got two guys with me here. Are you fans of the Nats?
No.
Okay. Then you don't want to go to Kentucky because they've got Nats everywhere. Now,
Nats, like the bugs?
Yes. Now, cue... the guy.
In Northern Logan County, say
this
a
guy.
Gnat infestation is making life unbearable, and they blame a local aluminum plant.
WBKO Investigates reporter Brennan Crane spoke with residents and takes us inside their homes for our top story.
All right, stop and start it again. Stop and start. There's low energy, and then there is just, I'm not even alive.
No, he is close to retirement.
He really does look like he's in a box.
Hey, I resent, as somebody closer to retirement than you, I resent that. I've never phoned it in like this guy. Look at this guy. Make an effort, for Christ's sake. Come on.
It almost makes me want to watch this news channel.
In Northern Logan County, say a gnat infestation is making life unbearable, and they blame a local aluminum plant.
WBKO Investigates reporter Brennan Crane spoke with residents.
No.
Our top story at 6.
I'm not going to.
For nearly 70 years, Isla Thomas has called Edwards Road home in northern Logan County.
Nice modern
lamp.
Now
in her 90s, she's wondering if it's time to sell and walk away.
Say, last year they were bad, but this has been the worst year. You can't even enjoy sitting in your kitchen drinking your coffee or anything.
No,
Thomas is one of dozens of residents near Logan Aluminum's recycling facility in Lewisburg, who say a persistent gnat infestation has made daily life unbearable. Many are now part of a lawsuit against the company, claiming the plant is to blame.
I just have a lot of gnats, and you can't cook. You can't hardly eat for them.
Walk inside Thomas's spotless home, and you'll see hundreds, maybe thousands of gnats caught on traps hanging from light fixtures.
About every day or every other day, you have to change them all, or they just fly so bad.
You know what?
What?
I heard that she spends so much on exterminators trying to get rid of the gnats that now she's not going to be able to get her neck lift.
Her spotless home, Mike. Bless her heart.
Camera. What happened to my camera on the show today? Do I look like I'm in a smoky room or something?
It looks like
that?
You might be overlit.
Yeah, I think I'm over.
But
I turned it down.
I think that happened during the show because we all looked great when it began.
I looked great at the beginning of this show, and then something went wrong.
It's that no expense paid camera.
Yeah,
it's the, that's right. That fabulous.
But I'll tell you
no expense was spared. Right. That's what you meant.
That anchor has been at WBKO since 1986.
Wow.
1986. God love him.
Going That's on fantastic. 40 years. Mike, you know what? Let's just bear with your camera because I only have one more tape.
I wanted to fix it and then stay a while.
I think that one of the most lovely songs ever written, as far as Beatles songs go, is called Here Comes the Sun. And I think this is a beautiful rendition of it. And we will close with it today. You can find great stuff on the internet. This guitar work is beautiful. It's all right. Isn't that pretty? Mike, I like when things are pretty.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. That's a great way to end the show. Hey, I really fixed it there, didn't I?
Looks good. I see gnats.
Yeah, gnats everywhere. We got to get out of here. We'll be back with a brand new show tomorrow. Thank you so much for your support. Our thanks to Joel
Zuckerberg.
Are you sure it's Zuckerberg?
I thought it was Zuckerman.
Zuckerman. That's right.
Hold on, I'll tell you what. I don't want to screw this up.
No.
Hold on a second. Let me just minimize.
I do Joel have, you know what? It is Zuckerman. I have it written down.
Zuckerman, not Zuckerberg.
Right. That was just a slip of the lip.
All right, hold on.
Slip of the tongue. Sure. No expense was spared.
The book that Joel brought to us today was Gratitude Tiger, Creating Joy Through the Art of Impactful Letters. And he's a good guy. It was fun talking to him. We appreciate him coming on the show. We'll be back with a brand new episode tomorrow. For Rob Spiewak and Josh Soroka, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Management regrets the error.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
You lost again.
Sabrina, don't just stare at it. Eat it.
Cotton nail bath tissue.